Has everybody got an opportunity to do something that will make you happy? Amen. Amen. And the rest of you? Come on, man. I know it's cold, but hallelujah. Bless you, Kobus. Very challenging thought that. But I want to rectify Kobus on the spot. You can't give your tithe to God. It's not yours to give in the first place. You're returning to Him what's rightfully His, always has been and always will be. Amen. Okay, you can relax now. I'm not going to talk about money. Our theme, we've been busy. Oh, we will. We're going to be running a course soon called Financial Peace University or Peace University. It's going to teach people how to work with money properly so that you get to a point where your money works for you instead of you working for your money. How cool is that? That's awesome, isn't it? That's a kingdom principle. Some of you are like, huh? Come on, I know it's cold. Just, can everybody just, ek wil julle hoor vanoggend. Ek wil julle hoor vanoggend. Please just shout. Or not. Some of you refuse to shout. Ai, jenne. Okay. Just get over yourself. Hallelujah. I have. Long time ago, I hope. Okay. Courage. Last week we looked at the courage to grow up, to become sons and daughters and no longer children. This week, we're going to speak about having the courage to die. So there's this Portuguese man in South who wants to go serve the country and join the army and pick up arms and fight for South Africa. And he comes from the Portuguese era of South Africa and arrives at the place where the troops are going to be deployed to fight in army. And he gets off the bus and he's all keen and excited. And the corporal or the sergeant major shouts at the people, "Tran!" Everyone's just scurrying. If you've been in that situation, you know exactly what we're talking about. "Tran, Tran, Tran!" And so they're shouting and it's just hectic. And he shouts to everybody, "Have you come here to die?" And the Portuguese guy says, "No, sergeant, I come here yesterday." Do you have the courage to die? The courage to die. If we focus too much on the promise of what John 10:10 says, you don't have to turn there. Most of you can quote it. So Jesus says, "The enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and I have come that you might have life and life abundantly." How many have liked that kind of preaching? That's good, isn't it? But if we focus too much on that scripture, this abundance, this abundance, this abundance, we run the risk of getting people to believe that Christianity is simply a life improvement program. You get that? Something that you add to your life to improve your life. It's all going to be about improving and living your best life here and now. Now, in principle, that isn't correct, but sometimes it can be out of context. I'd like to ask you this question. How many of you, without looking at your Bible, can quote John 3:16? Okay, speak to me. That's fantastic. Give yourselves a round of applause. You can quote John 3:16. How many of you, without looking at your Bible, can quote 1 John 3:16? Only one man. Only one man. I submit to you that maybe ons staar ons bietjie te veel blind aan die abundance instead of wat die essence van Christenskap is. What is the essence of saying, "Jesus, I'm choosing to follow you"? Because 1 John 3:16 says the following. It says the following. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up His life for us. Okay? So, we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. We also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. You see, folks, the essence of Christianity is laying down our lives for the betterment of other people. Christianity is not a life improvement program exclusively. It will improve your life dramatically, but perhaps not in the ways that you expected. You see, when I signed up, so to speak, I didn't sign up to lay down my life I was already the walking dead. And I need Jesus. I needed Jesus to bring life into me. I just existed. Ek het bestaan, ek het nie geleef nie. And the last thing I thought of and knew and understood was that I also one day would have to lay down my life like Jesus laid down his life. How many of you would have still signed up for this thing called Christianity? Very few of us. Very few of us. But folks, all we need to do to look at what the Christian is called to do is simply look at the life of Jesus. We started the LTS. It's not a course, it's a life-changing experience here at church. And in one of the topics, we looked at the fact that in the 3.5 odd years that he walked here, 30 times people threatened to kill Jesus. So, where does that leave us? If people say, Lord, I'll follow you. How many times have people threatened to kill you because you have such a powerful testimony? Because you have such an influence with your Christian faith that they want to take you out. How many of you have had that happen to you? I have. 2 people. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying. That's it is. And that's the essence of... Why is it so quiet in this church? That's the essence of Christianity. We call to a life of selfless sacrifice and service. Selfless sacrifice and service. Let's consider these scriptures. John 15 and verse 13, it says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. The world has many, many distorted, twisted opinions and ideas of what love is. The Bible example is, in 1 John 3:16, it says, this is how we know love. Love is measured like this. Jesus dying for his friends. Jesus dying for the people who shouted, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus dying for the people who deserted him in his hour of greatest need. Jesus dying for the people that were your broers. Ja, my broer, ek sal by jou wees tot die einde nie. Tot die einde. Moenie worry nie, Jesus. Ek sal by jou wees. Die ander gaan wegval, maar ek gaan by jou wees. That's love. Dying for people like that. That's love. Are you learning something this morning? Are we willing to die to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Now, the good news is that you don't have to die to pay for somebody's sins. That's good news. Jesus has already done that. But are you willing to die to bring the saving knowledge of Jesus to somebody? Think about that. As Christians in South Africa, we live a fantastic life. That was a good place to shout amen from the top of your voice. Jy dink nie so nie, nee. Dis seker deel dat jy so stil is. Well, I encourage you to study the persecuted church. The modern day persecuted church. It has been statistically proven that there are more people being martyred in the modern day era of church than in all history ever before. And it doesn't even make CNN or the news or whatever. There are more Christians being martyred for their faith in the modern era of, in other words, our generation, than in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, being killed for their faith. On a daily basis. In fact, since I started preaching, but more than 10, less than 30 Christians have been murdered since I started preaching because of their faith and willing to go and tell others about Jesus in places where it's not allowed. Do you have the courage to die? Some people had to muster up more courage than ever before just to face the cold this morning to come to church. That was courageous for you. Jan is dressed for the word. We think it's persecution when one of our several vehicles are rendered inoperative. We think, die duivel val my aan. Twak, man. It's just an unreliable car or something. Or it hasn't been maintained or it's a factory fault and you think the devil's attacking you. Get a grip. Get a grip. When you're staring down the barrel of a gun and it's cocked and locked and the guy says, are you going to denounce Jesus or are you going to die? What are you going to do? Decide now. True story. A church was having fellowship, and armed, masked men came in with fully automatic weapons and got the attention of everybody. How many of you know they got the people's attention? And they said, those of you that are willing to die for Jesus, stay. Those of you that aren't, leave now. The people couldn't get out of the building fast enough. They were playing church. And there was a handful of people that were ready to die. The masked men put down their automatic weapons, took off their balaclavas and said, right, you people are serious. Now tell us about Jesus. True story. So where are you today in terms of having the courage to die for your faith? And maybe, here's the deal. The challenge is that we've got to die to self as well. If it comes to the point where your life is threatened, well, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is you end up at Jesus' side. Hallelujah. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm not an idiot that is going to go and chase death just for the sake of being with Jesus, because there's so many of my biker friends that have not yet said yes to Jesus. And I've got something to tell them. So it's not about that. But maybe, here's the deal. Some Christians like to say, I'm willing to die for Jesus. I'm willing to die for Jesus. Okay, that's cool. But let's start living for Jesus. Okay, let me try that again. Let's start living for Jesus here and now. Living with this purpose in mind. Living to tell till all know. That means dying to self. That means I'm going to have to come out of my comfort zone. I'm going to have to let go of all my dreams and plans and ambitions. That they're not necessarily bad. But here's the deal, guys. God is the dream giver. When God gives you a dream and it excites you and it motivates you and you start living for that dream, this is how it works. That dream will not materialize peacefully in your life unless you're willing to die to it, let it go, give it back to God. And when you do that, then your dream will start to be real. As soon as you hang on to that dream and cling to it, then it becomes more important to you than the dream giver himself. But the dream becomes your ultimate focus. So when God gives you a dream, it's okay to have dreams and aspirations and desires and plans and goals, and it's all fantastic. But sometimes you need to die to that and live for the cause of Christ. And then you watch God fulfill dreams that you don't even know you've got yet. God is busy working together with the Trinity to bring things to pass in your life that you don't even yet know that you desire. Dreams that you've not yet dreamed. He's busy working to bring that to pass in your life. But sometimes we need to die to that. We need to let go of things. So courage to die means not only dying like a physical death, but dying to self, dying to your ambitions, dying to some relationships. Some relationships are keeping you out of God's best for you. Hello? Yeah, but I love him. Okay? Now, is him helping you get to Jesus, or is him keeping you away from Jesus? Think about that, folks. Right. Romans 5, 7 to 8 says, now most people would be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now that's the thing. Think about this. How willing are you to preach to somebody that wants to kill you? Folks, this is real. How willing are you to share your faith? Ek wil gaan getuig. It's so lekker and easy preaching Jesus among bikers in South Africa. Because I've yet to meet a biker, an actual person who owns a motorcycle, or a real biker, however you want to, say, no, Mozzie, I've never heard of this Jesus. I've yet to meet such a person. I've met such people in South Africa, but they're not bikers. It's so easy. It's easy telling bikers in South Africa about Jesus, because they've all heard about him before, and they all know him, and they all believe in him. But they're not all living for him. Huge difference. So dit's lekker om met mense te gesels wat ja, ek glo, ek het my God en dan getuig hulle vir jou en sê ja, die Here die en die Here daai en die Here die en die Here daai. It's easy to speak to those folks. And how then will we do when the Spirit of God tells you to minister to somebody that wants to take you out? Somebody that hates you, that detests you. How much of the love of Jesus will then be evident in your life? I'm gonna throw you guys in the deep end, really. There's a clip on my phone I want to give to you, and you can prepare it for the end. Okay, I'll give it to them. I'll just make sure I give them the right one. Just now they wys goeters hierso wat nie gewys moet word nie. It's gun stuff. If I show you gun stuff, you'll get offended. I got a folder on my phone that says gun stuff. It's this one here. It's this one. Okay. Just give it to somebody that knows Android. They'll know exactly what to do with that. Thank you. Bless you. So how then will our love be shown? You see, folks, that's what you signed up for when you said yes to Jesus. We said this before, you're not just saved to have a cushy Christian life, do your Christian thing, your Sunday regular thing, maybe it's once a month, I don't know, ek het my Christelike daad gedoen vir die maand en dan lekker wegbly vir die res van die tyd. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are saved to bring salvation, tell salvation to others. We have an abundance to impart abundance to others. All these things, all the love of this, all the fruit of the Spirit, we should have that in our lives so that we can share that with others. Do you have the courage to do that this morning? Do you have the courage to do that? Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God." Let's just start there. To give your bodies to God. What does that mean? That's for a whole sermon series on its own. And I'm going to save you from that this morning. Give your bodies to God. Because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. I love the way it's put there in the NLT. This is truly the way to worship God. Some of you, and I say this respectfully, think that what happened this morning with the music is praise and worship. You think music is praise and worship. The Bible says giving your bodies to God as a living sacrifice is truly the way to worship Him. Wow. What you experienced this morning with the songs at the deep ended is music accompanying what should be true worship. Do you get that? That's music accompanying what should be true worship. Lord, I worship you with every fiber of my being. Some of you, and I'm just, if you're upset with me this morning, get a life. Build a bridge and get over it. Some of you, it's like, you've yet to let God free you up to worship with your bodies. Now, I'm not saying everybody must be a happy, clappy, jumpy person like I am when it comes to worship. But somehow you can just see when a person has let God touch them and when a person hasn't. I'm just saying. I cannot experience Spirit-filled, Spirit-led worship and it looks like I'm death warmed up. I can't see that. I don't think you've let Jesus touch you if you look like death warmed up. I don't know. I'm just saying. All I know is there was this guy who said, "You happy, clappy Jesus freaks. You're hunting on like mole things, man. Nowhere in the Bible do you ever see Jesus carrying on like you do. What's this? Woo! Hallelujah business! Ah, you don't see Jesus doing that." And the person simply said, "You know what? You're right. But everybody He ever touched did." Now there comes a time to be still and know that He is God. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that He's God. Yes, there is. But the rest of the time, ek weet nie, jong. Ek weet nie. When I excitement means excited to me. I don't know what it means to you. I don't know. En dan's jy hierso, dan sit you like a professional mourner. You laugh. People were paid to cry for people when they'd suffered a loss in the family. They were paid to cry. They were not allowed to give any counseling, any answer, any advice, any wisdom, any scripture. They just had to sit and hail. Some of you qualify completely. You qualify completely. I don't even know how I got on this, but that's true worship. Now, here's the deal. If a sacrifice is living, that means this: it's continuously giving. It's continuously giving. Once a sacrifice has been sacrificed, it's no longer living. But a living sacrifice, it means it's continuously giving. And having the courage to continuously give and to give and to give and to give till there's nothing left to give. And then you give and give until it hurts, till it's not, and you give and you give and you give. How do you do that? How do you do that? We need the grace and the anointing and ability of God in our lives to be able to do that. Wanneer jy's op, jy's klaar, jy kan net nie meer nie. And you just keep giving. You just keep giving. You just keep giving. Now there's a time and a place to rest. There is a godly balance in this, but we're getting to that. But we're not there yet. This is still the giving part. It means a living sacrifice means you must continuously give. Philippians 2:17 says, ek weet nie hoe laat ek begin het daar, so julle sal my moet help, nee? Daai ding is, okay. But I will rejoice, Philippians 2:17. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life.
Wow.
This ook, Paul, what a character. He was, that's why it says he was, in another portion of the scripture, it's, I misquote it now, but he's writing to young Pastor Timothy, and he says, I'm fully persuaded. In other words, he doesn't just believe, he's past the place where he could ever doubt again. He's fully persuaded. He's fully persuaded. He says, I know the one in whom I believe. I know him. I don't just believe in him. I know him. And Paul was like it. He's fully persuaded that Jesus is indeed who he said he is. So Paul was at the place where, that's why he was such a handful. They did not know what to do with this oak. They couldn't threaten him with death. Because the more they threatened him with death, they just realized this guy's going to be with Jesus when we kill him. They tried to silence him, and the more they silenced him, the more he spoke out for the cause of Christ. Wat doen jy met so iemand? Niks nie. Jy los hom alleen, because he's a God man. He's a God man. And in Philippians 2:17, he says this, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life. I love this. Check out this picture. You see communion wrapped into this, and how Jesus says that he's the bread of life, and his body is given up for us, and his blood poured out for us. He says, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. What joy is Paul talking about here? Now think about this. Here's me. Here's my life and all the lacquer stuff that's in there, and I want to keep it to myself. So it's lacquer. And Paul says, no. My life must be poured out like a liquid offering. Wat wil ons doen? Ons wil al die goeie goed behou. We just want more and more and more. The scripture says in the book of Luke, and only in the New King James does it say like this. It says this, that if you honor God financially, good measure pressed down, shaken together, double portion will be poured out onto your lap to overflowing. No? And in King James, I believe it says, will men pour out. Another translation, will men. So in other words, you're not going to wake up one morning and find a money tree growing and then you go pick up a couple of leopards off the branches there. No. God will use obedient, faithful men and women to be his channel of blessing in your life. Can you say amen? All right? So now that scripture there, it says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. When it starts to overflow, what do? We increase the size of our container. We increase the size of our container. It's another, and it's an extra, and it's noch, and it's a newer and it's a better. When does it get to the point in our lives where it starts overflowing? Well, stop increasing the size of your container and let it overflow so that ander ook daardeur kan bad. Toe. I'm guilty of this. I have a philosophy. Nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement. So I always want improvement. 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 Now that's great in principle, but it can be taken totally out of context. You see, so the increase comes and it starts overflowing. What do? You just make a bigger container. And a bigger container. And a bigger container. This is not the kind of preaching that people throw money at. I don't care. Ons moet het hoor. I need to hear this. I need to hear this. And Paul says, no, live your life that you like a poured out offer. You pour out. And here's the deal. He says, I want you to have this kind of joy. What kind of joy is this? What kind of joy is this? We're going to see. There's another principle that ties up in here, and it's so beautiful. Woo, I love it. What kind of joy can there be in pouring out your life? Your life is a poured out wine and broken bread. What kind of joy can there be in that? Imagine jy's 'n stuk brood, 'n lekker stuk vars gebakte plaasbrood met geen preserveermiddels. Jy moet dit daai dag eet, anders die volgende dag is dit af in 'n vrot. Ek praat van daai tipe brood met geen preserveermiddels in. All the essential omega-3 oils are in there and they're not being bleached out because you want wit brood en wit tee en wit daai. It's all there. Just, ek praat van daai tipe brood. Wanneer laas het jy sulke brood gehad? I want to know because even the flour that you bought today has been bleached out. It's been bleached with chlorine to make it white. Hoe kom? You're taking essential oils out of that. But anyway, so yeah, you are. Jy is hierdie stuk brood en nou mense vat 'n stuk. Hulle breek af, they take off. Imagine if you that bread, and people are taking a piece of you, and a piece of you, and a piece of you, until there's nothing left to give. En aan die wat regtig waar honger is en vraatsig is, die krummels wat oorbly, kom hulle vir dit ook, en dan snuif hulle daai krummels op, and there's nothing. Can you see the picture? What do? Well, they did nothing less to Jesus. It gets to the place where you can only but rely on the supernatural power of God to keep you going. And to make sure that you let Holy Spirit fill you. You make sure you let Holy Spirit feed you and nourish you and nurture you. Rest when you must, but you keep on giving. And when you do that, when you empty yourself of yourself, God will fill you with Himself. When you're at that place, then you experience what Paul is speaking about. He says, I wish that you all have this joy. Why can that be joy? How can it possibly be joy? Because the scripture says this. We don't know when and we don't know where, but Jesus said it. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You'll experience a joy second to none when you live at that place, my brother, my sister, where you have the courage to lay down your life for the betterment of others. You'll experience the abundant life that Jesus spoke of in 10:10. Then and only then. Let's say that again. Then and only then. We think we have life in abundance when we got all the toys. Really? I have had the privilege of serving as a detective in one of the richest places in this country. Where the amount of wealth per person, per capita, is right up there. And in that period of time, I came in contact with the most miserable people on the face of this planet. They literally, and the scripture says so, they do not have the ability to sleep at night because they're concerned of losing the wealth that they got and trying to think of new ideas to gain more wealth than they already have. So we think abundance is when we got all the toys. That's not abundance that Jesus is speaking of in John 10:10. It's this kind of abundance when you live for the betterment of others. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now here's the deal. Abundance is of God. Okay, some of you don't believe that. Abundance is of God. He wants you to have an abundance. He wants you to have so much that you have enough to bless other people out of their socks. that they can see who your source is, that it's God. He wants you to have that. But when you're at that place, speak to anybody who here's the deal. It is one of the gifts of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit is giving. Speak to a person who has the gift of giving. It's different from somebody who gives. Can you say amen? If you don't know it, you'll see it sometime. There's people that give, and then those that have the gift of giving. Speak to those who have the gift of giving, and they will tell you, there is nothing that they have in their life or have had in their life that has brought them anywhere near as much joy as being able to give to somebody else. And that's what the Bible is speaking about here when Paul says, I wish that you have this joy in Philippians 2:17. When you have this joy, you'll experience what Jesus said when he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. It says, and I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. This is Paul. In this passage of Scripture, it's Acts 20, 18 to 35. Paul explains the difficulties and the challenges of ministry. He explains how unglamorous it is. Yesterday, I had the privilege of going on an off-road ride with my nephew. It was fantastic. We had such fun on those bikes. I cannot tell you how awesome it was. I rode somebody else's bike, and it is awesome. I rang its neck, ring, ding, ding, because it can handle it, and we had fun. So I stopped over at our shooting range, and I spoke to an individual. And he says to me, so you like to play? And I said, yeah, I enjoy playing. And he said, I saw you, I'll just get back to my train of thought. What's the point I was going to make? He said, I saw you got a new bucky. So I said, no, unless God was using him prophetically to speak into my life. I don't know. I'm just saying, Lord. He said, I see you got a new bucky. So I said, no, it's, you know, I've had it since November 2017. He said, no, because I saw you. I thought, yes, see. I wish I had Mozzie's job. That's what he said yesterday. He said, I wish I had Mozzie's job because he's got money to buy a new bucky. And I laughed. I said, no. You don't understand. I said, you sure you want my job? You sure you want my job? He says, yeah, because you got money to buy. I said, no. My father's very, very rich. He said, oh, what does your dad do? I said, look, I'm in a family business with my father. And he says, what is it that you guys do? So I said, no, we're in the rejuvenation and recollection business. And he said, well, but where is he based? I said, well, we've got branches all over the world, and it's a global network, actually. I really said this. This conversation went down. And I didn't come up with this. I learned it from somebody else. I said, it's a global network. And he says, so what is it that you actually do? I said, well, we rejuvenate, you know, where there's stuff has been stolen, we restore what's been stolen, what's rightfully due to people, and where there's been death, we bring life. And the guy standing next to him is laughing in the background all the time because he knows I'm a pastor. And this guy that I'm talking to has been in this church when I've done a service. So he knows I'm a pastor, but somehow he thought that my income is supplemented. So, and I said to him, Chris, it's God. He said, oh, and then he caught it. So, some people think that ministry is a glamorous lifestyle. And I can understand, because there's people that have taken the concept of prosperity right out of biblical proportion. And they're telling people, you want to get rich? Serve Jesus. I can understand that. But in this passage of Scripture, Paul's explaining what ministry is really like. If you want to see what authentic Christian ministry is like, check out Acts 20, 18 to 35. Check out the Apostle Paul's life. And then you decide if you say, Mozzie, I want your job. You decide then. And Paul explains this. And this background, through this background of explaining what ministry is really like, Paul says in verse 35 of Acts 20, and he says this. He reminds us of what Jesus says. He says, I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, when and where Jesus said that, we don't know, but he did. Now, most of us believe that hard work, that we must work hard to pay our bills and meet our needs. Most of us believe that, right? How many of you believe that? You must work hard to pay your bills and to meet your needs, right? Okay, that's one aspect of looking at it. But let's see what the Bible says about that. Let's see what the Bible says about that. And this thing of courage, having courage to die, means you're going to need to lay down your life and work hard. You're going to need to work hard. Trish and Stephen excitedly shared a testimony this week where on their way back from LTS, they had an opportunity to share Jesus with a family, and they made a commitment to Christ, and they led the people to the Lord. And I was excited for them, and they excited. And my reply was, that's great. Now the challenge of discipleship takes place. Now the work starts. Now the work starts of walking a walk of discipleship with that person. Day after day, after week, after week, after month, after month, after year, after year. Until that person becomes a disciple who makes disciples. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you've tried that or tackled that or started that journey, you won't understand that it is hard work. It is work. It's good work. It's rewarding work. And I said to this guy yesterday, the fringe benefits and the package has rewards out of this world. That's my salary package, has rewards out of this world. I'm in it for the outcome, not the income. Hallelujah. It's hard work making disciples. Come on. So here's the deal. This is going to require hard work, but what kind of hard work? Ephesians 4 and verse 28 puts it very, very differently. The concept of ek moet hard werk because ek het bills wat betaal moet word en my needs moet gemeet word. Daarom werk ek hard. That's most people's mindset. Let's see what the Bible says. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, it says, and puts things into a kingdom perspective. It says, let him who stole steal no longer. But in the New King James, it says it like this. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. And let's just stop there. Let him who steal no longer. Rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. Now in principle, that sounds great, right? And now it gives us the reason. The reason we must do that is that he may have something to give to him who has need. Hello? That he may have something to give to him who has need. So, werk moet jy werk. Hard werk moet jy hard werk. Maar as jou focus vir harde werk is om jou bills te betaal, submitte kan jou dat daar heel waarschijnlijk een koninkrijk wanbalans is in jou leven. Because the kingdom perspective is, if the kingdom perspective is in your mind, you'll truly believe what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, don't worry about all these things. God knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Those preceding verses in Matthew 6, Jesus is speaking about the needs. So if you really believe that God is going to meet your needs, why are you working hard to meet your needs? Anybody dare to answer? Why are you working hard to meet your needs if God has already promised that He's going to meet your every need even before you know you need it? Why are you working hard to meet your needs? Shouldn't I be working hard so that I may have something to give to somebody in need? What a difference. What a difference. Daarom, as ek werk toe gaan, is dit nie 'n kwessie van, oh Jesus, it's Monday. I gotta go to work again because of the bills and the payments. Whereas if you understand, Jesus is saying, hey dude, relax. God's got this. Chill. Chill. God's got this. God will meet your needs, not your greeds. He'll meet your needs, not your greeds. And when you have that kingdom perspective, when you go to work, it's a different story. I'm working with my hands what is good so that I may have to give to those in need. What a difference. What a difference. How many of you are going to go to work tomorrow with a whole different perspective on why you're in that office Why are you in that factory? Why are you in that workshop? Why are you? A whole different perspective. You're not working to meet your needs. And if you are, you need a checkup from the neck up. You need a kingdom perspective. And that's what hard work is about, including this thing of laying down your life for the betterment of others. Are you learning something this morning? I'm going to start landing this thing. I don't know how long I've been preaching, and I don't care. So if it's taking too long, those oaks at the back, they to blame, because I didn't see the timer. No, I'm just kidding. It's not their fault. It's me. But I'm into this, and I'm going to finish. Proverbs 23 and verse 4. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Exclamation mark. In the New King James, it's got an exclamation mark. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. In other words, stop it. Stop it. Don't overwork to be rich. The NLT says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. Wow. I can't say anymore. And then Romans 12, verse 11. This is really the last scripture. Romans 12, verse 11. Here's the deal. Having the courage to die is going to require hard work. Laziness is just not going to cut it. Some people are so lazy, they need a sign that tells them when to breathe in and when to breathe out. In fact, if they could, they'd rather get somebody to feed them instead of lifting their own hand to their own mouths. The Bible says that in Proverbs. That's how lazy they are. And they wonder why it's difficult in their lives. Romans 12 and 11 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I'm done preaching. So, how are you this morning in terms of having the courage to die? And before you think, oh, lekker, and you're in the, not the spur of the moment, but the spirit of the moment, and there's no lekker warm gepreek, ek is warm gepraat, maar there's no warm gepreek, think about that. Think about that. I sense by the Spirit of God to say this morning. The Scriptures, and this is not in the notes, the Scripture says this, that you must think carefully before you put your hands to the plow. Because if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Think carefully before you say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to lay down my life for the cause of Christ. I'm willing to lay down my life and spread the gospel. And if you're not, well, that's okay. You see, if I'm unfit, I know what to do about it. I train my little tush off until I am fit. So if you're unfit for the kingdom of God, you can become fit for the kingdom of God. But before you do, make sure that if you make a commitment like that this morning, you're willing to keep your hands to the plow and keep your eyes on Jesus and work for the advancement of His kingdom. Think about it. Think carefully about it. Think carefully if you're willing to be a poured out offering. If you're willing to let your life be broken bread and poured out wine. Because folks, if not, I don't know. May God be gracious with us. May He be merciful with us until we get to a point where we're willing to do that. And if you're not at that place, that's okay. I realize that me, for Mozzie, as I don't know where you are, for Mozzie, I'm preaching here, but I'm living here. I'm preaching here, but I'm living here. I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way. Amen. And may God, by His grace and His Spirit, help us to be at that place. And you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, well, you know, Jesus laid down His life for me. Now I've got to lay down my life. No, you don't have to. It's a free choice. But the good news is that we can live this life of abundance. We can live this life of power. We can live a life of selfless sacrifice and service. That's what Christianity is about. Selfless sacrifice and service. We can live this life because Jesus died for us. Because Jesus paid the price. You see, it's like He gave up everything in heaven so that we can have all of heaven here and now. I'd like us to pray right there where you're seated. If it helps you focus on God, closing your eyes, that's fine. The Holy Spirit, just to minister into your heart this morning. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you haven't accepted the sacrifice